From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Great to be with you. Open lines at the half this hour, next hour. Get ready for this. End Times Prophecy with special guest Irvin Baxter. I'm looking forward to that. It should be quite the coast-to-coast ride. Well, scientists are saying that they have found a reason the bird flu isn't spreading easily from person to person. They say the virus concentrates itself too deep in the respiratory tract to be spewed out by coughing and sneezing. But the virus, they say, could change that behavior by genetic mutation, taking a step toward unleashing a worldwide outbreak or lethal flu. The experts say that the new finding doesn't indicate how likely such a pandemic is. The virus may also need other mutations, they say, to take off in the human population. Still, the work suggests a particular sign to watch for, they say, in new virus samples to help gauge the danger to humans. The New York Police Department is installing 505 surveillance cameras around the city and pushing to safeguard Lower Manhattan with a ring of steel that could track hundreds of thousands of people in cars a day. The police cameras will constantly keep watch over neighborhoods plagued by crime and monitor potential terror targets as the city moves to put another 1,200 police officers on the street. The exact locations of the cameras were not revealed, but the electronic eyes will be set up in 253 spots, including many Operation Impact Zones, they call it, high crime areas already targeted by teams of cops. Later this hour, when we open up the lines, I would like some of you to react to these stories about more and more surveillance cameras being put in American cities. Are you for it? Are you against it? We'll talk about that later tonight. Well, if you're stopped by police in Kansas, don't be surprised if the officer there pulls out a little black box and takes your fingerprints right there on the scene. The gadget allows officers to identify people by fingerprints without hauling them into the police department. Over the next year, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation will test 60 of these devices with law enforcement agencies around the state. State officials said similar tests are being planned for New York, Milwaukee, and Hawaii. Well, sign of the times, General Motors and auto parts supplier Delphi Corp. They've announced deals with the United Auto Workers that could help the struggling companies cut labor costs by offering early retirement buyouts to 113,000 U.S. hourly workers. The deal comes at a critical time for GM, which increased by $2 billion. It's reported 205 loss to now $10.6 billion last week. The world's largest automaker has been losing U.S. market share, but it is straddled with labor agreements that they say make it difficult to close plants or cut workers. The plan is also crucial for Delphi, the largest U.S. auto parts supplier, which is reorganizing in bankruptcy court. About 100,000 GM workers will be eligible for payouts of between $35,000 and $140,000, depending on their years of service. While an outraged Italy is now threatening troop withdrawal over the situation in Afghanistan, the United States is cautiously monitoring Afghanistan's prosecution of a Christian who faces the death penalty because he converted from Islam. I talked about this story yesterday. A State Department spokesperson says that officials will follow Abdul Rahman's case closely and raise the issue with Afghan officials. An Afghan Supreme Court judge said that the 42-year-old Rahman is being tried over his conversion from Islam to Christianity some 16 years ago. His relatives reportedly turned him in, notifying authorities about the conversion. Dehydrated food, bought in anticipation for a Y2K shutdown years ago, and melting snow kept a family of six alive for more than 2 weeks in their snow-trapped recreational vehicle in remote southwestern Oregon. Fearing a search for the family from Asheville, Oregon, had been called off entirely after 16 days, Marlo Hill Stivers and her husband, Peter, left their two children, Stivers' mother and stepfather, in the 36-foot Dolphin RV in search of help. They were found the next day by authorities, and all six of the self-described wilderness rats, as they call themselves, were reunited after rescuers brought the remaining four to safety. But by keeping some of that Y2K dehydrated food and by drinking the melted snow, it kept them alive. NASA has fired three microsatellites into space over the Pacific Ocean to study the Earth's magnetic fields a week after a planned launch was scrubbed due to technical malfunctions. The 55-pound satellites, which will test new technologies, were carried aloft from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California aboard a Lockheed L-1011 jet. In a moment, we're going to talk about a weather modification rally that's planned. Scott Stevens, weatherwars.info. He's our guest next on Coast to Coast AM. Scott Stevens has been fascinated with weather since he started keeping a weather diary for a scouting merit badge, and that was a long time ago, and ever since then, he's turned out to be one of the country's best weathermen, and now he heads up a website called weatherwars.info. Scott, welcome back to Coast to Coast. How are you?
I'm good this evening. How are you, George?
I hear you're pretty busy, my friend. A weather modification rally? What is that?
Well, what we have are two bills coming out of our House and Senate. House Bill or House Resolution 2995 and then Senate Bill 517, written and sponsored by Senator Kay Bailey Hutchins out of Texas. And what I had hoped last fall in September and October when this first bill was published and we read the contents was that we were going to get a technology transfer from the military, from whomever is responsible for what we are seeing in the skies, so we can finally begin to understand literally the extent of what is happening to our weather. But what it looks like is happening is that this federal umbrella is going to go up, which the Technology Transfer Act would then drive or pull from private individuals, from corporations. All of that technology would then be gravitated towards the federal level rather than going from the feds and out to us where we could understand what they are already doing. So it's almost like the whole bill has been turned around on us.
What are we afraid of, though, here, Scott? I mean, weather modification, maybe they're trying to, let's say, stop hurricanes, slow down tornadoes. Doesn't that sound like a good thing on the face of it?
That's my opinion, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's how this technology should be used. But, George, as we have looked at what has happened across this planet since 1976 when it began, is that the planet's warming has accelerated. We are seeing planes in the sky creating cloud cover which has doubled in coverage just since 1999. It's so bad that the British, looking for a location for a 30-meter telescope, which is a very large scope, don't know where to put it because of this man-made generated cloud cover. And they're essentially coming out and saying that by 2050, ground-based astronomy will not be possible from the surface of this planet because of the engineering and these trails, these chemtrails that are being drawn across the Western powers.
Scott, weeks ago we had a story about a NASA scientist who apparently was told by members of the Bush administration, look, don't say anything about global warming. Don't talk about it. And then 60 Minutes has just run a report on the NASA scientists. What's your take on that?
What they don't want, this administration does not want a discussion about the state of the planet's climate. They don't want it because what we'll realize is that we're on or past a tipping point where the oceans and this planet will respond with force to what has happened here over the last 50 years. And obviously, the science must be pretty compelling. Otherwise, they wouldn't be going to the extent that they are to keep discussion from reaching the public. And it's got them nervous, very, very nervous. And what we need are people that are concerned about the cleanliness of the air, concerned about the droughts in Texas and Oklahoma, that the technology was long ago developed to mitigate these actions. And we've got to drag it out from the government and bring some public oversight so we can fix the mess that has been created.
Scott, I've always said, watch the insurance companies. Watch how they react first. If they stop insuring certain regions or specific events because of Mother Nature, then we're on to something, because these people are smart. They've got experts out there. They're years ahead of most people. Watch the insurance companies. And when they start backing down on insuring specific things, I think we're in the middle of something.
I agree. And I'm honestly surprised that that they've continued to insure the locations they have that are so close to the coasts, whether it's from earthquakes or tsunamis or from the hurricanes along the Gulf Coast of the U.S. That is a grave risk that they're probably going to back away from. I mean, the losses this past 2 years have got to be, I don't believe they're sustainable. How many more years can they afford these losses before they back away from insuring them? And then alone to discover the liability associated with weather manipulation. And this may be one of the primary reasons why there just cannot be, or they will not allow discussion of this, is simply the liability issue.
Well, I got to tell you, Scott, if we get a Hurricane Katrina or Rita this year, these insurance companies, with that kind of damage, these insurance companies aren't going to be able to handle it. Some of them will go out of business.
Absolutely. And I think as we get to this next hurricane season, the places, the targets we're going to look for will be farther up the East Coast, beginning at about Hatteras, North Carolina, and then continuing. I think they will attempt evacuations of D.C. or New York City. I think that is a very real risk this year. And it won't be one of those hurricanes that blows by. It will be a very slow mover like Ophelia was last year. And that's going to be very interesting to see how this summer plays out in that regard. But that's where I think we're going to have the biggest issues, is farther up the Atlantic coast this particular season.
Scott, around March 12th, 13th, we had 113 tornadoes in the Midwest. And about a week or so before that, one of my sources, a meteorologist whose name will not be given, sent me a report and said, George, read this. We are anticipating at least 70 huge storms and tornadoes, could be severe weather. And we got 113, almost double what he expected.
And I was looking at 50, and I had sent an email out several days before that event, and I said, boy, this pattern is setting up to be very ugly very early in the season. And I said, we'll probably see 50 in one particular day before March is through. And as you said, over 110. And it's just a clear demonstration of this, of the increasing in the weather severity. And in a way, it's probably a good thing that we have some manipulation within the financial markets, so the insurance companies can sell their assets to cover the claims that have been drawn against them. So it is an interplay of many, many markets and financial things to keep us from literally going under. It's also interesting that the Chicago Board of Trade is now allowing a greater range of weather options to be viable. Heating degree days, cooling degree days, precipitation, high and low temperatures and extremes. And this is a way for, again, more traders to hedge their bets against the energy situation that we're facing in this country. But again, when you've got weather that's manipulated, this would just be another avenue for the House to collect the money from the uninformed.
Scotty, how close are we to the perfect storm? Is it going to happen this year?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't think this year. I think we've got a couple of years before they'll pull that card out. I think it's a few years away. Maybe not the day after tomorrow, but I think that kind of scenario will play out. But it may take it'll be after 08. It'll be at least 08.
Tell me about the weather modification rally. Where? When?
We know it's tomorrow morning. I believe 8:30 is when we start. It has been a couple of days since I read the press release, since I've been out in L.A. and haven't had access to email for a while. So I hope you got the release there. But it ends at 2:30, and I believe the march is from 10:30 to 2:30, and I'll be there to talk about it.
It's a national rally, but it's primarily in Los Angeles only, right?
Right, right. And the issue is that this bill and the capabilities are affecting agriculture. They're affecting forestry. They're affecting the ranchers. They're affecting our food systems, our water systems, the air we breathe. All of this has been contaminated by these trails, by this poison that's been placed in the sky. Today in Los Angeles, I got to tell you, we started out with blue skies, and every single cloud And the sky turned milky white by the end of the day. All of it was artificial. There should have been blue skies from sunup to sundown. And it's been a while since I've seen a display in the skies that was literally this brazen.
Chemtrails?
Yes. Otherwise, it would have been blue today with just maybe a few wisps of clouds. But when you literally put hundreds of tons of this material in the sky, it affects the weather. It affects the climate. And today would have been one of those beautiful blue days from sunup to sundown, but the trails having a profound effect on the amount of sunshine reaching the surface of this planet and in the air we breathe. It's not good for us, guys.
Well, Scott, if you had your wish to change just about anything that you can change with your knowledge and ability with weather and weather modification, what would that be? And it's only one. You only get one wish, Scott.
The awareness of the public. I think it is that awareness is the one thing we have got to increase. You only get change when people are informed and aware of what is happening, and then they can make the proper decisions from a position of understanding and from knowledge. And that's what we have got to see. And we're going to do that. We're filming, making a DVD and a documentary, Winds of the Warlocks.
As a matter of fact, you're doing it while you're talking to me, aren't you?
We're here right now. The lights are on. So we're working late into the day.
Your crew is probably saying, would you finish this interview? Get it done, would you? We're almost done, Scott. Three more minutes. Finished.
This is so important. This is so important because it affects us globally. And when you get letters from elderly women of the Sioux or from the Hopi and saying, Scott, thank you for what you're doing. We've noticed and we've talked about the changes that we see and notice in the sky and wonder when the white man will look up and see what has happened to this beautiful planet, that it is being changed, being changed very quickly. And that pace of change may at some point get out of hand. That is a very, very real possibility and indeed may be one of the designs. But awareness is one thing. And I don't expect that people will simply believe me after hearing what's going on. You've got to take the time to pay attention. And only with that will you be able to convince yourself and understand the magnitude of what we're seeing with our atmosphere. It's the only one we've got.
And well, Scott, though, don't you think that we're in a cycle, that this planet reacts to cycles every 100,000 years, every 10,000 years? It does what's happening now, regardless of whether we think man is contributing to this. This was going to happen anyway, wasn't it?
Absolutely. But that doesn't give license to the powers that be to do what they're doing with our weather, to do what they're doing with our atmosphere. That is inexcusable without our permission, without our knowledge. And if it was for the betterment of mankind, you know they would be out there trumpeting what they are doing, but yet they're doing it with secrecy. And that in there is the clue to their intent. And that's something we cannot let them get away with it. Even as we come to the end of this great cycle that has been talked about and prophesied over and over and over again, we should be able to go into the end of this cycle, of this age of transformation, with clean air. It's all right.
What are some of the crew members, you know, those that are working with you, let's say, on this DVD, what do they tell you? I mean, they see it. They're outside. These guys and gals are tough. They're out there filming, videotaping, and all kinds of inclement weather. What are they seeing? Are they seeing changes?
What they're noticing is once they're aware that this is happening, then the noticing begins. And that's why I said we've got to get an increase in awareness. But flying into L.A., I met with a photographer who does Disney movies, and he started in 1974, and he said to me, Scott, the skies are just not the same during the 30 years that I have been in the business. Things have changed. What he didn't know is why, and we've got that answer.
We sure do. Scott, get back to your DVD, and thanks, and good luck with the rally tomorrow.
Oh, thank you, George. Thanks for having us on. It's important.
That's Scott Stevens. Weatherwars.info is his website. Now, the rally, those of you who live in the greater Los Angeles area and you want to go out there and take a look at it or even participate in it, it's up to you. The demonstration will take place on Thursday, March 23rd. That's in the morning, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., downtown Los Angeles, 312 North Spring Street. Now, that's the corner of Spring and Temple Street, and it will include a number of speakers. Scott Stevens will be there to talk about weather modification. Now, I've got open lines for you. pure open lines, but I would like some of you to react to all these cameras that are popping up throughout the cities in America, keeping their watch on us. They're even now working on tattoos, invisible tattoos placed under your skin, almost like a barcode. That's happening now, as a matter of fact. The patent has already been issued. Here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, Dodger from the NighthawkZone.com fast blasts me and says, George, you're not going to believe this. But in China, they've already tattooed people right under their forehead. And at the airport, people, Chinese nationals, need to get in a special line and they get scanned several times. That's incredible. They're putting barcode tattoos on people already in China. Well, it's right around the corner. If it's made in China, it's bound to get here any moment. Back in a moment. Okay, we'll take your open line calls right up to the top of the hour, and then it's end time prophecy for the rest of the show. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, Mr. Norris.
Yeah, hi. Where are you calling from?
This is Josh from Alabama.
Josh, good to have you with us. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking about the cameras that are in Manhattan and all over, and with the tattoos. The only thing I can see here is I just think about this and I close my eyes and I get this image of a guy sitting in a chair in some skyscraper somewhere in the world, and he's watching all of these different video monitors all over the world and viewing all these places, and he's just laughing maniacally.
That sounds like a movie, doesn't it?
Well, yes, sir. The way I see it, and this kind of ties into your guest coming up later in the show, is this is all just fueling end time prophecy. I guess a Revelations buff. I read a lot of Revelations, and I see all of this happening, and it's just, I never would have thought about it 10 years ago.
Well, let's talk about New York for a moment. It's a tremendous city. Yes. I try to get out there at least twice a year. Our affiliate out there, WABC, has just been so supportive of what we're doing. So I'd like to get out there and meet all the people. I mean, here's a city that has had more things happen to it than you and I can talk about tonight, Josh. So what's wrong with putting up extra cameras around in high crime zones to keep an eye on neighborhoods so that these tough law enforcement officers can get to the scene maybe a little quicker? They might not be able to prevent crime, but maybe they at least can get there and catch these culprits. Is there anything wrong with that?
No, but it starts out that way, but then it leads up to, okay, well, then we got it here. We need them other places, and it just builds up and builds up and builds up. It says in the, I don't know if you've read the Bible, I'm sure you have, but it says that it will be a subtle change. Well, from what I've gathered, it will be subtle, and most people won't realize it. And the way I see it, it'll be done through the government. The government will come along and say, okay, we're going to need these changes, and we're going to need these changes. It'll be slow process. First, it'll be just for crime, and then it'll be, well, we need surveillance on such and such, and you know, da da da, and it'll just continue on. And then, like with the chip in the forehead and in the palm, I mean that's just right there. The tattoos, I mean, it's all just fitting into place.
Ah, so part of the problem is believing who's in charge at the time to see if they take advantage of all these other things. I mean, it's a tough call. Crime is rampant. You want to stop it. You want to slow it down. And one way to do it is to put cameras up all over the place. What's wrong with that? Well, we're beginning to find out a lot of people just don't like it. Wildcard line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. First, I'd like to say thanks for having me on, and I appreciate the show and the wealth of knowledge that you provide to all of the listeners out there.
Well, thanks for being part of it.
Well, good. My name is Drake. I'm calling from Spokane, Washington. And I was commenting about the cameras because you were bringing that up, as well as weather modification.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the bordering state, Idaho, in the town of Coeur d'Alene, I've been in there, and for a while I noticed a bunch of cameras popping up everywhere. Cameras going up everywhere. Then I noticed an intense amount of chemtrails being laid by aircraft. Now, as opposed to the aspect of security when it comes to observing monitors and cameras all over for, you know, security reasons, how's this for a theory? The HART project is known to do the potential of mind control as well as weather modification. What better way to monitor an entire society that's a victim of mind control technology than through covert cameras or blatantly visible ones?
Oh, that makes you a conspiracy buff.
I do believe that it exists. I believe that there is more to the world than meets the eye, especially when you look up in the sky and you see the planes laying these lines down, cameras everywhere, and then the local Department of Transportation only claims to have about a third of them.
Well, you know what? I guess just about anything's possible. Drake, thanks for your call. Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast. You know, in terms of cameras, I sure would love to see some of the video that was around the Pentagon on that horrible day of 9/11, 2001, when a plane reportedly smashed into the Pentagon. I'd love to see that video. You know, all we saw was just a few frames of something that hit the Pentagon, obviously, but nobody really knows what it is. But apparently there were cameras all over the place, from gasoline stations, everywhere, that captured something. I'd like to see it. I think the American people are entitled to see it. I don't think it has anything to do with national security. As a matter of fact, national security was breached on 9/11. We should see those tapes. You know, if you're going to put cameras all over the place, then at least use them. Let's see what happened. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air on Coast to Coast. It is your turn. You still there? Yeah,
yes,
there you
good
go.
Morning.
Yes, sir.
Doug from Cleveland, Ohio, listening Hi, to Doug. You on 1100 WTAM.
Yes, good to have you with us.
Thank you. 2 points real quick. As far as the security cameras and all the cameras, I'm not too fond of them at the moment. Got to appear tomorrow in court for a traffic ticket from an
automated... I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
$50.
The eye in the sky got you, huh?
Yeah, it did get me here in Cleveland. The second thing, a little bit more...
Well, now, hold on for 1 second, Doug. Were you guilty?
Yeah.
Now, nobody knows who your last name is, so we don't know what's going to happen in court,
yeah,
but you were guilty. Okay, so what's wrong with a camera capturing this criminal, you, and and you getting your ticket out of it? What's wrong with it?
You know what? I'm a tax-paying citizen. I broke the law. So be it. I got to pay the fine. Got to pay the piper.
You got to pay the piper.
Yeah. The second point real quick. For the last 5 years, I have been dealing with what I thought was chronic fatigue disorder, depression. Matter of fact, I've been to medical doctors, I've been to psychologists, and finally I sat down with my family doctor, and he said, you know, it's Cleveland, Ohio, in the winter, you know, the weather's kind of gray, and we're having all these problems, and every time the weather gets excitable, I just want to go to sleep. So finally he said, let's try light therapy, and I've been going to a tanning bed twice a week for the last 4 years. George, I feel amazing. The light and getting, it's really been great.
Really? Now, wait, first of all, I trust you're wearing those goggles when you go
absolutely
into the tanning bed. Okay.
Absolutely.
So when you talk about light therapy, you're talking about on your body?
Yes. Yep. About 6-7 minutes twice a week. A lot of people go 4 days a week, 15 minutes, and you see the ladies all brown. But he sent me 2 times a week for about 6 to 8 minutes. That's it. I can wake up in the morning. I can do things. I don't have to take the pills anymore. I'm energized. But when it's a gray day, the weather affects us, George. And the sooner we wake up and realize it, and that's what I've been saying all along. We keep screwing with things. You know, what are we leaving our children? What are we leaving the next generation? We keep, you know, saying, oh, we'll let somebody else deal with it. It's time is now, and your last guest had it right on the money. We have to pay attention to this now.
There is no question that most people would prefer to be in a sunny environment than one that is cloudy and miserable all the time. And you're right. It affects your mood. Now, tell me what the doctor, though, he actually prescribed going to a tanning bed. Is that what he said?
Well, he didn't write me out a slip. He said, you know, we've tried everything.
Here's a prescription. Go to this tanning salon.
You know, we've tried everything. And finally, after about 6 months of tracking in a journal of how I felt, George, I could sleep till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I just wouldn't want to get out of bed. And he said, I truly believe this is weather-related, seasonal affective disorder. Try this out. And I went, and like I said, now I wake up in the morning. I can go to work without a problem. I feel energized. The gray days don't bother me. And it's
I've never heard of this. Is he an alternative practitioner, or is he just a regular medical doctor?
Yeah, and for your callers, don't go jumping in a tanning bed just because I say so. You know, but no, he's a very progressive, and he said, look, Doug, we've tried everything, and I want you to try this. And I live near an airport. I have air purifiers in my house because of you know, just what your guest was talking about. This is a real thing. This isn't a conspiracy. This isn't a what if. This is real.
Okay, now do me this favor. Put your right hand up.
Right up.
Pretend your left hand's on a Bible.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes.
You do not own tanning salons. Is that correct?
No, I don't. I swear
right.
I don't.
All right.
I'm a local official. I work in city government. I swear to God.
I believe you. All right. Thanks for the call. Next up, Wildcard Line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. Pete from Detroit calling.
Hey, Pete.
The Great Eight.
Same kind of weather as Cleveland gets, Peter.
Oh, yeah. I feel the same way, too. I might take his advice and hit the tanning bed tomorrow.
You know, my dad, 83 years old, doesn't care what the weather is like. He walks from his house to a senior citizens complex every day for lunch. It could be storming. It could be sunny. It could be a blizzard. He just plods along. The weather doesn't bother him at all.
More power to him.
Really? Yep.
Say, I had a question for you. I've noticed in the Detroit area some poles going up with two sets of solar panels and two small boxes kind of angled at the highway. I'm not sure what they're for, if they're detecting radiation or if there's some kind of RFID tag or if they're, I don't know what. I can't imagine.
All right. Let me ask you this. Any speakers? I'm wondering if they're weather sirens, first of all, that are working off of solar. No?
No, okay. Those sirens, those things are in place, and there's a big network of those things. These are right along the highway, and in some instances, if the highway's too wide, they'll have them on opposite sides of the road. I'm assuming there's some kind of RFID tag reader.
Okay, so what do you think they're reading? Are they trying to read the solar eruptions? Maybe the amount of light you're getting, or are they trying to read traffic patterns?
They might be trying to read traffic patterns, especially marked vehicles, or maybe we're going to have to purchase new license plates that are long-range RFID tag equipped. I don't know.
Oh, now you're on to something there. Listen to this one. How about this thing? So, you know, let's say a car is involved in a crime, and, you know, you get part of the license plate and it's gone. Chances are they may never catch the guy. What if the license plate itself can be tracked and you're able to get some numbers, let's say, to police, and they radio it up, and all of a sudden they know exactly where that car is? That's possible.
Yeah, the guy's went down 75. You know, they could pick him up right away. And I've also heard, maybe it was on your show, that the police had come up with a weapon that would allow them to throw a glob of glue on a green vehicle and track them that way. I'm wondering if this isn't part of that system.
It's like a gel.
A gel with the tag in it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What price, though? What price, though, Peter? Security. What do you think? How far is too far?
It's too far. It's getting there right now.
I bet if we did a poll, you would be absolutely correct in the amount of people who would say the same thing. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Cindy in San Diego, the sailor. I haven't talked to you for a long time.
That's right. Cindy the sailor. What's new?
Hey, not much. Listen, you know, the last caller was kind of hitting on what I was thinking about with this OnStar.
Yes.
You know, they can unlock your doors. They can send you a maintenance report. They can tell the police exactly where you are. I mean, isn't that kind of already surveillance?
Well, in as much as they're one of my sponsors, I think it's tremendous technology.
Ah, okay. But okay, like the other night you were talking about, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, we've all done it, nobody around, run a red light. Now, what's to say that OnStar can't tell them that you've done that?
No, they won't do that because I know the OnStar people. But I'll tell you the one thing that they have done that is absolutely remarkable. They have been able to help people out of jams. And I'm not doing this as a commercial. I'm telling you what they've done. There have been some people who have been in situations that are absolutely abominable, and they've been able to get to OnStar, and OnStar has helped them find their car, open up their doors. It's really something. The key in what you're saying, though, is how far can technology go before governments start to abuse it? And that's the thing all of us need to watch. And here's the biggest question, Cindy, and answer this for me. Are we better off now than we were years ago when we didn't have the technology? What do you think?
I'd have to say yes, that we are better off. I believe technology is a good thing, but there's always the scary part of it, you know, abuse of the technology that we have to watch for and stop, you know?
Absolutely. And that is the key to the whole thing. Who do you trust? Who will abuse the technology? And see, that's the thing we just don't know. So do we make a decision, a blanket decision, that because we don't know who we're going to be able to trust in the future, therefore we can't continue anymore? Or do we all get to the point where we realize, you know what, we're all going to be monitored, we're all going to be watched. If you're not breaking the law, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to worry about. It's the criminal that has to worry about it. Or do we look at it in terms of, look, it doesn't matter whether you're breaking the law or not. If you lose your privacy, you've lost it all. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
My name's Hassan. How's it going?
Good, Hassan.
What is it? About the government, like, throwing all their, like, pretty much scrutinizing the public by, like, putting Big Brother everywhere. Well, like, isn't that all a part of the New World Order?
Might be. Might be a way for them to just... See, here's part of the problem. Even though, like, let's say in New York, they're going to add 1,200 more police officers to the force, you know what? That's a drop in the bucket. They need probably 30,000 more police officers to really do a tremendous job in terms of police surveillance. So what these cameras are doing, what the technology is doing, is it's cheaper. Rather than find people, rather than hire people, they're going to let the cameras
do it. Build a productive economy, yeah, rather than hire people and bring more jobs.
Right.
They're greedy, and they're putting up more cameras.
And how much you want to bet these cameras aren't made in the United States either?
Oh, no, they're probably made in China or Japan or somewhere in, like, and we're feeding off them, of course. We're feeding off the East. The West always feeds off the East. And so the blue suits can keep more money. They don't hide. They like, do this to not, like, to, like, hold back employment. Just so, pretty much, they're greedy.
Well, you got to always watch what you do. As a matter of fact, I bought some things today here in Missouri. And, you know, I go back and forth between L.A. and St. Louis. I can't believe the sales tax in Missouri. It must have gone up. You know, I don't know if I didn't notice it before, but it used to be like 5.75%. It's over 7% now. When did that happen? And, you know, we're not even off of a national sales tax economy yet, which is a proposal to do away with the IRS tax system. That's pretty high, and it gets even higher. And I guess it's higher in California as well. If you need to email me, that's simple, george@coasttocoastam.com. That'll get you right to me. Fast Blast, by the way, anybody can do that. You have to, you know, do what you do. Lex has it all set up. Go look at the eyes on the coasttocoastam.com website. Right around there, that's how you get into the Fast Blast system. So we're done with this hour. I can't believe where the time went. In a moment, our guest will be Irvin Baxter. We're going to talk about end times prophecy. And let me tell you something. This is one of my favorite topics, so get ready.